website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues today, we'll be introducing a special guest. We'll be talking about some of the issues that is taking place in the United States of America, some of the political issues that we see transpiring, what is happening with the Epstein tapes. Should they be disclosed? Are they hidden? Are they being covered up? Are they lost? Did they ever exist? What about Maxwell, the lady that's been sentenced to 20 years in prison? She's been in prison. She was Epstein's right-hand person. What does she know? She has said that she wants to be interviewed by the Senate committee, the House committee, because she's got a lot of things she wants to tell. All of these things are taking place, but in the mix of all of these issues, my question is, should Christians become involved in the political process? How should we respond to what we see taking place in every avenue of the political agenda and arena today? The president has said that he wants to lay off thousands and thousands of federal workers. The courts have tried to block him for several months now. U.S. Supreme Court just said he can do that. The president said he's going to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. How should Christians respond to that? That's a volatile, spiritual, educational, Christian issue. And yet, multitudes of Christians today are saying, no, we need the U.S. Department of Education. We need to continue to have that department set up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sexualizing. It is weaponizing. It is destroying the hearts and the minds of every child, sons and daughters and grandkids of ours in the educational system. My wife can tell you that I said 50 years ago, it's the government-controlled educational institution. The governmental institution is called the public educational system. How should we respond as Christians? What should we do? And right about at this point, I should interject the fact that according to the U.S. Supreme Court, Christians, hear me, Christians have not been told, you little nobodies, we're going to let you talk about politics. We're going to let you even in your church say something about political candidates. Ladies and gentlemen, years and years and years and years and years ago, we started having Meet the Candidate Sunday, where we would invite the political candidates to come, stand in the pulpit, give their personal testimony, explain why they are running for office, what they intend to do in office, and then allow the congregation to ask questions. That is the forum that I believe is God-honoring when it comes to that portion of it, of getting to know the candidates. Yes, Christians ought to be involved in the political process. We're going to talk about that today, intermixed with things that are taking place in Washington and what is taking place with the alligator Alcatraz. And how should we view that? Should Christians say, oh, my Lord, they're going to punish those people. And if they run away, they're going to get eaten by the alligators. We need to just say no to the government. We need to say shut it down. Is that what we need to do? I say no. But ladies and gentlemen, right after our monologue, we'll introduce our guest. We'll open our telephone lines. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Jot that number down throughout the course of this broadcast today. We invite your call. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts in relationship to what is happening? And should Christians, this is the key question, the key element, should Christians be involved in politics? Love to hear from you today. That telephone is 904-831-0917. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, the Lord Jesus himself said, "I am truth." John 17:17, the word of God is validated. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. May I say, that is truthful. If anything's ever been stated true, that is true today. We have those that are standing against truth. We have those that, like legislator Crockett, I've forgotten her first name. She's off her rocket. if you want to understand how she stands about the political agenda and what needs to be done, she is a total. If there is such a term as a racist, she is a racist, and she is adamantly opposed to anything that's moral, ethical, and biblical in values. This is one of the reasons I'm going to tell you today that Christians ought to be involved in the political process. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement in part. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And ladies and gentlemen, there are those in our society today, the millennial age group that's becoming more and more involved in the political system, religious system, et cetera, taking places of leadership, headship, and responsibility. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a frightening headline. Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. If there's no absolute truth, ladies and gentlemen, where do we turn in a courtroom? What do you do in relationship to validating charges against someone in that setting? Absolute truth. But yet 55% of millennials say this, and I quote, "Each person determines their own version of truth." There's not but one version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." That's my challenge. That's my mantra. That's my modus operandi that I try to get across to you each and every day on this broadcast. Seek the truth. Listen to it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Tell it. And defend it even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing and the professional lawn care equipment for those that are in business carrying out the task of professional lawn care. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is operating on the basis that they are available to set up those that want to be in the landscape and lawn care equipment business. They have the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time has the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care equipment or the homeowner brand lawn care equipment, as well as the power backup equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court, as you know, has just ruled that Christians and churches and pastors have been given back our religious liberties and our freedom of speech. I find that refreshing. I say that in pun and jest, because we've always had our religious liberties and our freedom of speech. Our Constitution guarantees that. God gave it to us. It was codified in the Constitution, confirmed by the U.S. courts, can be carried out by we the people. But someplace, somehow, some way, back in 1954, Lyndon Baines Johnson, as a senator, decided that he didn't want any liberties for the Christians in America. By the way, he hated the Catholic Christians, fearful that John Fitzgerald Kennedy, as a Catholic, would rule the world based on Catholicism and not based on the office of president. So on a transportation bill in 1954, a writer added to the bill by Lyndon Baines Johnson as an acting senator at that time, had a writer that writer said that the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, or the Infernal Revenue Service, however you'd like to couch it, was placed with the responsibility, charged with the authority to say that churches, pastors in the pulpit, could not talk about political candidates, political events, etc. So for 70 years, approximately, we've had pastors that had cowered in the closet, hidden under the bed, and used that as the excuse for not standing against evil, not standing against ungodly, unholy, unrighteous laws and regulations, and those in office to carry out the laws of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about it further this broadcast today. God invented, God created, God established civil government. We call it politics today. God established it. As you've heard me say 100 years almost now that on this broadcast, God created three institutions. He created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and in that order. Anything that we talk about in any of those three categories is a biblical issue. And we have the right, the authority, and the freedom in our Constitution to do so. Right now, we have the right, the authority, to talk about political office. We've always had it, but right now, my question is to you today, should Christians be involved in that? Ladies and gentlemen, my single question is, should Christians, pastors, churches be involved in the political process? We're told by the that politics is evil, politics is wicked, politics is dirty, and believers are called to simply preach the word, teach the word, be a witness to others, tell everybody about Jesus. Is this correct? Is this all we have the responsibility to do? Christians ought to be, ladies and gentlemen, I believe, Christians ought to be in the focus and recognizing what is going on. We need to focus on spreading the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some say that we're not to be entangled with the world. We're not to be entangled with the world system. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been told for about 70 years that Christians ought not to recognize the separation of church and state. That somehow, some way, that separation is there, and so therefore we are bound by that wall of separation. To not talk about political things from the pulpit, not to say anything about a political candidate. We've been admonished not to even not to even run. Listen, Christians have been told, stay out of politics. Don't run for office. Listen, if Christians are not involved in the political process, are we saying that only the wicked, evil, immoral, ungodly, unholy, agnostics and atheists and heathens are to be responsible for the laws, the rules, the regulations, and the governance of our nation? What would be the position of the church if we allow that to continue, or if that is the only thing we're supposed to do? If we are not to be involved in the political system today, why are we admonished in the scripture that we are to be salt and light? We're going to talk about that further in this broadcast today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the number is 904-831-0917. I'm delighted to introduce today a guest that we've had a number of times, and it's always a blessing to me personally. It's always an encouragement to me personally to have a former Congressman District 1, U.S. District 1 out of the state of Florida, he was in the legislature at that time. District 1 legislator for the state of Florida, Congressman Hill, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for being with us on Let's Face the Issues.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me on your show. It is always my honor and pleasure to be a part of the important discussions that you host.
Well, I am delighted, and we've got a whole host of things we could talk for the balance of the day, but I think they'd cut our wires before we had the full day to talk. But we could talk about things the rest of the day. Those things that I believe are vital, that are important, that are necessary for Christians, conservatives, pastors, and churches to understand what's happening and to understand our role that God would have us to take in the governance of our nation, our responsibility as salt and light. Congressman Hill, let me just start from the very top and we'll walk through that. Number one, what is your opinion? What is your position in relationship to my question, should Christians be involved in politics?
Yes, Christians should absolutely be involved in politics. Dr. Youngblood, I'm holding in my hands right now a book that was written in 1889 by Reverend Edward J. Gidding. The title of the book is American Christian Rulers: Religion and Men of Government. This was written in 1889. Our United States was just a little over 100 years old at that time. And what Reverend Edward Giddings did was he documented the Christian character of many of our early leaders. This book is over 600 pages long. I haven't read all of it, but I've read a lot of it. And it has about a 2 or 3 page little excerpt on each of our founding fathers and their Christian position, how they were raised as Christians, how they governed as Christians. And it's interesting, in the preface to this book, it was republished in 2011. Note, in 2011, that is before Trump. But in the preface of this book, I read this: no amount of political maneuvering and institutional reform can make America great again, because it was not the greatness of her institutions that elevated America in the first place. It was the Christian piety of her people, a piety nurtured and practiced by early American leaders. So yes, we need to have Christians running for office. We need to have Christians in government leading this nation. And when they do so, and do not be ashamed of professing your Christianity. And by doing so, you are leading the people to also model that behavior. And that is what's going to make America great again.
Absolutely. And Congressman Hill, I'm looking at an article entitled Standing for Truth. Let me just read a brief paragraph. Then we'll take our next caller, let you respond. Standing for Truth is a central tenet of the Christian faith, deeply rooted in the teachings of the Scripture. It involves upholding the principles and doctrines of Christianity as revealed in the Scripture, even in the face of opposition, persecution, and societal pressure. This commitment to truth is not merely an intellectual asset, but a lived-out expression of faith that reflects the character of God, who is the ultimate source of all truth. The Bible consistently emphasizes the importance of truth. And it goes on to talk about what Jesus said about truth, how we need to stand for truth. And it goes on to say the early church provided numerous examples for standing for truth. The apostles, despite facing severe persecution, boldly proclaimed truth. Peter and John responded to the Sanhedrin's command to stop teaching in Jesus' name by saying, "Judge ye according to what you're right, what is right in the sight of God. We'd rather obey God than man." One of the things that I think is necessary, if we're going to, as Christians, be salt and light, if we're going to stand for truth, how do we sit down and do nothing and say nothing and not take a position from the pulpits in our churches as pastors? Ponder that for a moment after we have our next caller. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. I tell you, y'all dead on point, because in the Declaration, when they said that separation of the church and state, they meant that, I believe they meant that the government cannot dominate. It's like Islam dominate, tell the people how to worship, where to worship, what to worship. That's what I believe.
Congressman Hill, would you give a little clarity on the thought about the separation of church and state and what that meant then, what it means now, and how I believe the Supreme Court finally understood that?
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, first of all, that phrase, separation of church and state, appears nowhere in our Constitution, nowhere in the Declaration of Independence, and nowhere in the Founding Fathers' documents and journals as they were debating putting our Constitution together. That phrase actually comes from when Thomas Jefferson was president and there was a Baptist church in Danbury, Connecticut, who were concerned about the government intruding on how they were to worship. And Thomas Jefferson responded back to them in a letter that says, do not be concerned about that. There is a wall, a separation of church and state, where the government, the state, cannot dictate to the church how you are to worship or how you are to behave. But that has been turned on its head, where there are actually people today, there's a group that's called separation of church and state,
right,
who believes that the church cannot get involved in government, that you cannot profess your Christian faith publicly if you're a government official, or even put out a nativity scene in Christmas time. It's all nonsense. It's all based on a bunch of lies, and we need to reject it completely.
Absolutely, and I know this is not a question that Kenneth has, but let me just respond to what you just said, Congressman Hill. Notice that the president's press secretary, an avid Christian, and I'm thankful for that. I don't question her belief in Christ and her salvation. I don't know the depths of that, but I know at one time the first 2-3 months of Trump's new office, Trump 47, that she wore a necklace with a cross. And I've noticed very conspicuously that the necklace with the cross is missing for the past couple of months, the several times that she's stood at the platform to speak. Is it possible that she's been chided, challenged, condemned, or she's embarrassed by that? Or have you noticed that, or do you have any thoughts?
I'll have to admit, Dr. Youngblood, I did not notice that. I didn't notice first that she even wore a cross and then it was removed. I hope it was not because she's been told that she shouldn't do that. In fact, the exact opposite should be expressed, that she should proudly wear that cross, because it shows that she's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Which is the salvation for us all, the good news that God himself became a man, took the sins of the world upon himself, because he was the only acceptable sacrifice. He died, taking our sins away from us, on the third day rose again in victory. And those who will accept that gift of salvation, they will be able to call him their Savior, to be saved from the coming wrath of God when he judges this world because of sin.
Yes. And as the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I believe as Christians, we need to recognize that we're to be salt and light and not be ashamed of our relationship to Jesus Christ. Kenneth, did you have other questions today?
Yes, sir. I tell you, I think when President Trump addressed everyone, about our Christianity rights. And I think they said that was the longest speech that was ever presented. And he said that he's not going to not, he's knocking down what crazy, I mean, forgive me, Lord, Joe Biden did.
You mean auto pin Biden? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I accept that.
Yeah. Well, Kenneth, listen, it deserves our prayer and our consistent obedience to the gospel. And just because I'm a Christian, I'm not a second-class citizen. Just because I'm a pastor, I don't lose my liberties and freedom of speech and religious liberties. And I have the right to speak. And the thing that I want to impress every listener today, as Christians, as conservatives and patriots, if we don't stand up, if we don't speak up, who's going to stand up and speak up to preserve our nation as a nation that God is so blessed almost 250 years. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I'm looking at a headline, Congressman Hill. How should Christians view politics? It reads this way. Is there anything that will speak, will spark a debate? If not an outright argument in a discussion, it is a discussion involving politics, even among believers. As followers of Christ, it should be our attitude and our involvement in politics. What should that attitude be? It has been said that religion and politics don't mix, but is that really true? Can we have political views outside the consideration of our Christian faith? The answer is no. We cannot. Our faith should inform our political views and impact our political life. The Bible gives us two truths regarding our stance toward politics and government. So that is a pretty lengthy article. That was just the introducing paragraph. So Congressman Hill, question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, I believe, as we understand what President Trump is saying now, that he's wanting to dismantle, well, he said that even in his stump speeches before he was elected, that he wanted to take down, dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. Is that something that Christians should rejoice over? Is that something that Christians should repel against? How should Christians view that? That's a political thing. That's a political element. That the U.S. government and the U.S. Department of Education, I mean, started what under Jimmy Carter as president and has been in force since. Should it be dismantled? And how should we respond as Christians?
Yes, it should be dismantled, Dr. Youngblood. And I would say as Christians, right now, if there's any way you are able to get your children out of these government schools, instead, homeschool them, send them to private Christian schools, do online schools, charter schools, but get them out of these government-run schools because they are nothing more than indoctrination centers. They are nothing more than pressing the evil leftist LGBTQ agenda, the DEI agenda, the critical race theory agenda, the America Last agenda. We do not need to be teaching our children that. And you're right, Dr. Youngblood, that was Department of Education was started under President Jimmy Carter, a Democrat, and it's been a disaster ever since. In fact, Dr. Youngblood, when you look at our government, all those three-letter agencies, most of them were put together by Democrat administrations, and we have feckless Republican administrations who don't want to remove them. Such thing as Housing and Urban Development, HUD, and many other three-letter agencies that were all started by government, Democrat administrations, and we need to get rid of them. They're all full of fraud, waste, and abuse, as we saw with the Department of Government Efficiency that was run by Elon Musk for a while there, rooted out trillions of dollars of waste that we need to get rid of.
Absolutely. And Christians should be conserved. Christians should be concerned. Christians should be involved. We should be salt and light. Salt and light's worthless if it stays in the shaker or under the bed. Congressman Hill, hang in there for a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL, St. Augustine, WATY.